Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How are you?
Doing very well.
I can tell. You're almost too excited for a Browns loss in a situation where the Browns could have had a game there. Almost a little too excited. People are wondering, do you care more about Shador's failures than you do a Browns win in that
many
department?
Many people are asking this.
I always think to myself when I come in here, I'm like, the easier Nick is in the pre-show meeting and the easier that he is in general is the more ramped up he's be to just absolutely try to bury me when the time comes. That's all that ever is with you. There will be no burying today. He played a half of football. Is that right?
I believe it was a half of football.
It was by no stretch of the measure was it great. That was about as bad as it surprised me how bad that even was. But like, I mean, come on, he played a half of a football.
But he was bad.
Yeah, he was bad. There's no other really way to look at it. He was bad.
I love that all day, every argument has to begin with, you know, I like Shador, or, yeah, I've been critical of Shador, but then everybody has to just be like, it's like the only way you can move forward with a conversation with anyone is if you start with, and Shador played bad.
Well, there's no hiding from that. There's no running from that. You have to start. I'm going to say Shador played bad maybe 75 times today, roughly, starting every conversation. Maybe 125 times. I don't know.
You gotta up those. Those are
what
numbers
you need from a guy like me. And that, yeah, it didn't look good.
You're an analytics guy. We got to get the numbers.
There was parts of my day in watching that where I legitimately had my hands over my eyes buried into my couch because I felt like he was disappointing me in such a big way where I was like, I'm telling my wife, I'm like, oh, you can't believe what an idiot this guy's making me look like right now. I'm telling, this is a shocking thing ever. I can't believe how bad he looks, even though, yes, he had no offensive line. He had, at the time, Judkins didn't do much in helping him out in the run game or anything like that. He's throwing to a bunch of receivers that he's never even thrown to. All these things aside, and all these reasons why I told you on Friday that if he got in, I wasn't going to be able to do anything with that type of game because the deck was stacked against him.
Unless he was good.
Well, that's part of what it was, because it was like, if he's good, well, amazing. Like, I listen to people all day long on the other side of this tell me that Justin Herbert basically gets a whole pass for what happens the whole entire Chargers season, and in particular yesterday's game, because Slater's out and Ald is out, and because two parts of their offensive line are backups, and that's enough of a reason. So, like, there is a lot to this conversation. There were some good in there. I think we can both agree on that. There's at least some excitement in there. But overall, it looked about, I don't know, 10 times worse than I thought it was going to look.
I just think the funniest thing about all this is everybody's saying the same thing. Shador didn't look good. He had no help and wasn't fully prepared.
Right.
And there was some good there. Everyone agrees on those three things.
That's really about it.
It was Armageddon. It was crap rolling downhill to a bigger pile of crap. Listening to people go out of their way to find a way to disagree. Guys, no, I've not heard one person say it was good enough yesterday. I also have not heard one person think the Browns have put Shador in the best, most optimal position to succeed, a la what they did with Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, in fact, it made me feel bad for Dylan Gabriel
yesterday. And I've not heard one person negate the Harold Fannin play, even the play where he rolled out.
How about the Lavinen throw that could have been a touchdown if Ouzier hadn't got his hand in there? Or really, if Lavinen wasn't Lavinen?
Honestly, even the damn Isaiah Bond play. Like, yeah, he missed the throw. That was a really good play in the face of bad pressure. I've not heard a person... I'm beginning to be convinced that the entire Shook conversation is just people, like a lot of things on the planet, just... going out of their way to create narratives to then disagree, because you and I are going to agree on the three main things, the only three things that matter out of yesterday's game with Shador.
Yeah, probably. And the three you mentioned there, I don't know. I don't even know that we'll split hairs on the idea that I thought he looked maybe not better statistically than Dylan, but the idea that you had to push the ball down the field. The fact that when you go into that final drive, I actually wondered, are they going to be able to score on this drive? Where if it was Dylan, I wouldn't have been able to wonder that.
Yeah, I just...
like that's another thing,
by the way. Like, is there any Browns fan out there that didn't enjoy, on some level, watching a quarterback throw the ball down the field?
It was fun.
That's not... And by the way,
part was fun. The rest of it, maybe not as much fun.
That's not...
As I buried my head in my couch.
It does continue on this line of thinking, though. If Shador and Dylan combined and merged into one quarterback, one, you'd have a two-handed quarterback, because it'd be like ambidextrous.
That's kind of cool. Like, no, this plays for your right hand. Yeah. This plays for your left hand.
And also, you'd have a complete quarterback. If you can move like Dylan and process like Dylan, but throw like Shador and just, you know, exist like Shador, you'd be at least the eighth best quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, but even if you had this offensive line trying to protect him, I think you have a problem either way. And that's kind of the big deal. Like, you had 21 dropbacks, he had 12 pressures. That's 57%. League average is 38%. Like, they were getting to him at a rate that is unheard of in the NFL, and getting the pressure and the blitzes that they were trying to do and throwing the house in that direction, and knowing that the Browns had no recourse in being able to try to stop it. The Fannin play, you want to know why that play worked? He actually had time to throw the ball.
Yeah, I would like to point out that for everyone who said he's a fifth-round quarterback, why are we talking about him so much? A lot of people overreacting to a fifth-round quarterback struggling yesterday.
That is a lot of people having conversations about this. A lot of people having conversations about it.
It's interesting. They don't seem to have a problem having the conversation today.
I was really surprised at the amount of people that seem to understand what happened yesterday and are almost giving Shador the old Peterlin pass in many respects. I think I'm harder
on Peterlin pass.
Yeah, I think I might be harder on Shador than I think a lot of other people in this conversation, and that was a surprise to me. But I didn't know, though. I didn't know if I'm just playing in my Shador corners where everything seems a little bit rosier than maybe it always needs to be.
Have you just blocked half the internet?
No, I don't block people for a bad or a wrong Shador Sanders take.
Did you just not go on Twitter?
I thought I spent a lot of time on Twitter.
Okay, I just don't know, because it was a bloodbath. And honestly,
the kids stepped
out on the field, it was a bloodbath.
I think people were excited, though, and I think that's where what's winning out right now is the idea. I think that excitement existed within that game that didn't exist when Dylan's in there, and it was fun. And at 2-8, I feel like people are leaning towards the fun. Not that they're saying that Shador was any good, more the idea that at least you might have something moving forward that could be fun to watch.
I just think, in terms of the fury that's been displayed, right? I don't get it. I don't. Yes, it was a winnable game that you lost. There have been, I want to say, 6 of the 10 games that were winnable games that were lost this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
you've had
of them.
Plenty of winnable games, and you haven't won them. There's one game where you've definitively won. And by the way, that win looks better every day, because Miami's winning left and right against teams that are your stature or better in the NFL.
They won 3 out of their last 4.
But, like, even the fury about, like, guys, like, saying Dylan played better than Shador yesterday, guys, what are we doing? I'm not going to get mad. Like, I get mad about Dylan because Dylan's been given every opportunity, and he's still way below par. Like, with Shador yesterday, the idea we should have any kind of expectation for him. Why? Because a bunch of people on social media like him, and because a bunch of people bought his jersey?
Well, what if you were to script up a game, Nick, where you basically stack the deck against the quarterback that is entering that? You would do it where the game plan is for Dylan Gabriel. You come into a game where the game plan is for Dylan Gabriel. You're throwing to receivers you've never thrown before to. You already have your starting left tackle that is out and removed from the game. Meanwhile, your starting right tackle is getting injured during the game and deciding to play through it all. Like, that would have been the recipe to have somebody fail. In many ways, that would have been it. That's not excusing what happened with Shador, but that is just pointing out that I don't know many people that would have had success there.
He's also a rookie. And the same thing with Dylan Gabriel. Like, the one fair defense of Dylan Gabriel this whole time, even though, watch him, he doesn't have the physical talent to do it. That was evident in 5 seconds watching Shador try to throw the ball down the field, even if it was to the other team. Like, the point is, they're both rookies. Like, the amount of people that got pissed about yesterday's game and got mad at Shador or got mad and the takes about Dylan Gabriel. It's like, guys, they came in at 2-7. They were a 7.5 point dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because they were in it at the end, it doesn't mean you have to melt down because the Browns lost to the Ravens. The universe is in the right order.
Right.
You lost a game you should have lost, no matter who is why you lost it. And by the way, it's not just Shador. It would be, oh gosh, who's the kid on defense that the kid that basically allowed Mark Andrews to waltz by him on the not tush push tush push.
The not tush push tush
like,
push.
Like, I'll be honest with you, I don't understand the outrage today. A fifth rounder looked like a fifth rounder. A rookie looked like a rookie. And by the way, before that, another rookie quarterback looked like another rookie quarterback too.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see the outrage from like a win-loss perspective for the Browns in this game. I thought that would be more prevalent, but I don't really see that. It is really just around the quarterback and I think the handling of the quarterbacks in general. I think that's where a lot of people sit to be angry today. I'm not angry. I'm just more, I guess embarrassed might be the right word. But it feels a little unfair because in the sports world, as you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that Shador's career is done after a half of football or that somehow the people that think that they're all of a sudden proven right because Shador didn't look good in a half of a football game, they're all of a sudden they're proven right until the end of time. That would also be really silly of me as well. But it was not a good look by Shador. No way.
Yeah, like, again, all of the things that we've said here are true. Shador didn't look good. Shador showed a couple moments where you can kind of see why he could be an NFL quarterback in the future.
Yeah.
And didn't have a lot of support around him. And the Browns lost a game they should lose. And so the reality is, all the noise around this is created by the fans at this point. Team hadn't done it. The kid hasn't done it. If you listen to the kid after the game, like, he went out of his way to be
straight up says it wasn't good.
Well, and also, he went out of his way to be like, hey, can we, like, not boo Dylan Gabriel? Because that's not helping the team.
Well, I mean, this is one of the first times he's actually talked in front of the media in like that type of setting since the pantomime incident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like people had been giving him a lot of open space to have these weekly interviews and discuss everything under the sun. So in that moment, to even have the awareness to defend Dylan, I thought was a nice gesture by Shador. But he was like, any Shador fans are like, wow, Jonathan, you're gonna be hard on him today. It's like he was just as hard on himself as anybody yesterday in that post.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Okay. The resounding message from the Browns vet was, you're the backup, you went in there, you're not the reason we lost. And there was an element of kumbaya after the loss that I think was the right tone of support, in the same way that it's been for Dylan Gabriel when he's had stinker performances.
Well, I did think a lot of Browns fans would find it refreshing. It doesn't make it easier on the loss or anything like that, or take away from the idea that he was not good at all in that game. The idea that he did at least stand up there and take accountability for it all. Mm-hmm. And he did. He said that was rough. Before we could even create narratives or do anything, he's like, that was rough. That wasn't a good game. And then I stood up, I apologized to the locker room, and he gets these type of moments more oftentimes than not.
Yeah, and I just think in general, like, every time you hear from the kid, he's just a nice kid.
Yeah.
Just a really... So, like, it's why when we've heard all these, oh, he's this, he's that, this boogeyman that they've turned this kid into, it's just the most ridiculous narrative, because I've never seen a shred of it other than... he's got a film crew that followed him around in training camp. Mm-hmm. Was that it?
Yeah,
was that the one?
I guess so.
Ah, what an awful person. But no, right. like the person that is Shador, which we saw sign countless autographs for an hour after mm-hmm. practice, that's the guy that showed up. And like, the reality is, I'll say this again, because there's just been so much noise around yesterday's game and so many victory laps. And by the way, whether it's Gabriel Gobblers or Shador people, like whatever it is, everybody seems to be missing the central point of this whole thing, and they're trying to pin blame. And it's like, guys, this season isn't really just about winning. It's about development, and it is about evaluation. And so the reality is, Shador was bad yesterday. Now you need to see, with a full week of practice, if he ends up being able to play, if Gabriel's still in the concussion protocol,
mm-hmm, yeah.
Now you need to see how much a full week of practice with ones and that taste of experience goes from here. Not every loss or not every quarterback change has to be met with this sky is falling Armageddon type approach in a season where I think the Browns knew when you and I knew that they weren't going to be very good this year.
I hope he gets that chance. I really do. I hope he gets a chance to play on Sunday and gets a chance to and not only have a redemption for himself, but have a whole week where it's him that is getting the reps and him getting the opportunities and then him getting some of the connections with guys like Jerry Jeudy and then getting a chance to go out there in a much better condition than what he was afforded for his first opportunity. I hope for his sake, because if not, and it goes back to Dylan, you do have to wonder, I don't know that the opportunity he's going to strike twice, but also he'll be kicking himself. Like, that was his chance to, if he balls out in that game, Dylan Gabriel's no longer the starter anymore.
That is kind of why I thought he was so hard on himself after the game, including hanging his head on the bench, is I think he was worried that might be my only chance.
Might have been, and it really might have been. Like, if Dylan comes out of this concussion protocol, there's no reason why Stefanski wouldn't go back to Dylan, his pet project, and there's no reason why Shador wouldn't have to then just sit back and wait. It got highlighted yesterday, Nick. I really don't think they wanted to play him at any point this season. I really don't. Mm-hmm. And I think Shador knows that, and I think there's why, especially in certain moments, you saw him play with, like, that pressure was there, and that pressure existed around himself. And so maybe it was just part of that idea, that he knew he had a half of a game to impress in a big way, to steal that job. And he just wasn't able to do it.
Well, we did have the Jason Lloyd report after the game that Kevin Stefanski had gone around to team officials and kind of prepped them for the idea that this would be a redshirt year for Shador, which probably throws more fuel in the fire of people who think it wasn't Kevin Stefanski's decision to turn him into the backup either.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, again, like, if you're the backup quarterback, you are exactly what happened yesterday. You're a hit away from being thrown in and then exactly into the spot that we are. So, like, if that report is true, then it would make you wonder why he was even the backup to begin with.
I just think when it comes back to it, like, even the conversation about, Shador didn't get first team reps until literally yesterday, And like the response to it, which is, and a lot of very intelligent former backup quarterbacks like Brian Hoyer, like, oh my gosh, Marty. Oh, Luke McCown, former Browns backup.
Luke McCown is very on Twitter these days.
He is.
That man's got thoughts on just about everything quarterbacks.
Because he's not a starting, or sorry, he's not a backup quarterback in the NFL anymore. He's got time. He's retired.
Is that what retired old retired quarterbacks do now?
I think
if they don't latch on to Fox or Twitter or anywhere or JT Fox O'Sullivan, or CBS or one of these places.
Trent Dilfer is about to make a Twitter comeback. All of them. But what's funny about it is
you couldn't
even
have
that
pushed Jason McCourty out of the way and given a fourth person a part of that booth yesterday.
But like there's so many people weighing in on this Shador Dillon thing.
Yeah.
That have not been along for the ride.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, like when and Luke speaking to the generality, which is, you know, when I was a backup quarterback or when I was a young quarterback, I didn't get those first team reps. The difference in that scenario is Dillon got them. Dillon got them, whether it was 10, 15, 20% of the reps when he was backing up Joe Flacco when the offense wasn't any good. So that all I think people are pointing out when they're pointing out, well, Shador didn't have any first team reps yesterday or before yesterday, and Dillon did get them when he was the backup. The reason why we're pointing that out is Dillon had first team reps going all the way back to the beginning of camp.
Well, you pointed out because it's not an equal footing situation. And I do think that is worth noting, even if the idea is that, like, Baker Mayfield, for instance, came into his first NFL start and had zero reps with the ones either. But, like, I mean, clearly, Shador, he needs that time. He likes that time with his receivers. Look at his receivers in college and the amount of time Travis Hunter was with him for all 4 years. Like, they develop these type of the timing, the sense of, especially the style that Shador likes to play, too. Even, like, with Isaiah Bond, for instance, on that scramble where he rolled out and he's directing Bond to go. And I'm still convinced he threw the ball where he wanted to. Bond just didn't get over there enough is essentially what happened. Like, little things like that do take time. There's a reason why Varvadan was the guy that he went to on the side, because he had a lot of time with Varvadan. And there's a reason why that's one of the best balls that he threw all day was that ball right in the chest of Varvadan.
And there's a lot of evidence to suggest that Isaiah Bond should not be out there on the field. As of yet, he's a nice young player. 216-474-0092. I guess we'll start here. Did the Browns set Shador up
what
to fail? Very close to the sun there. Let's go with Dave in Seville. Welcome to the show, Dave in Seville.
Well, guys, this is the thing. Why don't we send Shador down to Cincinnati, see how he does, just like we did Joe? Because if he does good down there and he helps Cincinnati maybe get into the playoffs, we might get a one or a two pick.
Did you turn him into a playoffs?
Playoffs.
By the way, Flacco stunk yesterday.
I know that, but he was doing good before, so now maybe they need a Shador to come down there to help them out.
All right, Dave, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for the suggestion. I don't think they will. I mean, it's interesting. I can't remember what the darn site is, but they were talking about that. They were basically putting the O-line help, the tight end help, the wide receiver help, and the running back help.
It's PFF's all. It's an all-encompassing stat, is what it is. It's the supporting cast rating is how they view it, right? And they rank you basically everything, and they put it all into one big measurement.
And the Browns were 32nd.
Yeah, and if you take a lot of those metrics that we're talking about, like offensive line, for instance, obviously everyone that watches these games know we have the worst offensive line in the sport. But PFF's ratings, if you actually go by the numbers, you're 32nd. Like I do this. I look at these things all day long. Like you're 30s, you're dead last. You're not even close. And so, if you have a bad supporting cast, if you have a bad offensive line, like if anything, I left that game not really thinking too much differently. Outside of it, really went way worse than I thought it would. I have to stress that it went worse than I thought it would by a lot. But I almost felt more empathy for Dillon Gabriel out of the whole entire situation.
No, I did. The funny thing is, I continue to just look at it and go, because again, like when stuff like yesterday happens, right? The backup comes in and the backup does not play well, which again happens every weekend in the NFL. But like everybody wants to rush to blame Stefanski, blame this guy, blame Shador. It's like they've got a bad offensive line. None of their weapons are really ready or will ever be ready. He didn't get any first team reps, and that's not a slight. That's just a reality. And by the way, he's a fifth round rookie.
Like, it's also guys, one half of football too.
Well, no, that's a great point. But I think my point is, like, guys, it's okay just to be like, it didn't play well, and look at all the things that have happened. This kind of makes sense. I don't know that yesterday is a day that we have to resort to the blame game, whether it's if you're frustrated because they lost to the Ravens when you were up 16-10 when the kid went in, or whether you just didn't like the kid and thought he played like crap, so you want to take a victory lap. Like, I don't think this is that performance.
I don't think so either. I mean, even just down to the pressure numbers. And I brought up the pressure numbers last week with Dylan. 25 total pressures in that Jets game. Like, the offensive line is not doing any quarterback that is out there any sort of favors. It just isn't.
216-474-0092. Let's go with Michael in Euclid. Welcome to the show, Michael.
If it's me, it's Hinkley.
Oh, damn it. I was hoping for Michael and Euclid, but we'll settle for Michael and Hinkley.
I was
Michael,
in Hinkley on Saturday. I went golfing in Hinkley.
Mm.
And then went to one of your fine Panda Expresses afterwards.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the call. I have a slightly different take on this whole thing. I'd like to comment on the Browns fans. I've been a fan since 70. I've been a season ticket holder for 20 years, so I think I'm in a position to make this comment. In all those years, I've only been embarrassed twice to be a Browns fan. The first time was when I watched the fans cheering Tim Couch as he laid injured on the field after giving his heart and soul to this team because they wanted him replaced by the backup. And yesterday when they were booing Dylan Gabriel, who was under the same difficult circumstances as Shador was in terms of the support he was getting in. And if we're going to be the greatest fan base in the world, we can't be booing our own players, especially when they're doing the best they can and they can't help it. So I was a little embarrassed by the way we treated Dylan yesterday. I wish the best for both players. I have no dog in this fight, but let's support them both. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
Michael, real quick, how'd you feel when they cheered Deshaun's injury?
I didn't like that either. I don't like cheering any injury, especially your own players. You may not like them. You may not feel that they're benefiting the team, but they're out there, and it's their body that's hurting. So cheering an injury is the wrong thing to do. And booing somebody who's doing the best he can, you know, like I said, you can't call yourself a great fan base if you only cheer your team when they win.
Michael,
you got to be there for all around.
Michael, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. I don't look at booing Dylan yesterday in the same way that I would look at cheering an injury. But
you pay your money, you get to boo.
And here's the other thing. I think whereas Shador, for some folks, represents hope, I think Dylan represents maybe the hubris of the Browns and their thought, whether it's Stefanski, whether it's Barry, but just the idea that Dylan Gabriel would be a starting quarterback at any point in his NFL career, let alone five games into his career. It's funny, like, I don't think people are booing Dylan as much as they're booing what I think Dylan stands for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I get what you're saying, but I think they're also just, they are booing Dylan. I think they're done with Dylan. And again, the one of the takeaways I have within yesterday's game is like, and Coach Riz was hammering this in the pregame. Coach Riz was just like, it comes down to the players. It's the environment that you're in. Like all these quarterbacks, you need something. You need some offensive line play. You need some wide receivers. You need some tight ends. Like you can't expect Tom Brady to go in there with this type of offense and have success. And it was very evident early on in watching Dylan and then watching Shador. Like maybe I had been a little too hard, even though I've never been a Dylan supporter. I don't think he's going to be anything great, but like, I don't know who would succeed with the setup that the Browns currently do have.
I just would like to point out that there are a lot of people. I honestly, if I'm Dylan Gabriel right now, I'm thanking God for how Shador looked
sure
in that second half.
For sure you
because
are.
Because his QBR was 11.4
If Shador had lit it up, that would have been blouses on Dylan Gabriel's career potentially. Would have been it.
Oh, no, I just meant like people, Browns fans went from booing Dylan Gabriel. And again, because he had an 11.4 QBR to being like, Dylan was in that game, we would have won the game. Okay. He was really bad too, guys. Here's the
thing. There was a lot of quarterbacks. Lamar was bad yesterday too, though. I mean, like we saw some bad quarterback play all around yesterday.
I watched JJ McCarthy versus Caleb Williams. Good God.
I watched Sam Darnold throw four interceptions and still almost have a chance to win that game. Like it was a bad quarterbacking day, but yesterday in Cleveland, it was 30-mile-per-hour winds. You had a lot of different factors at play that clearly.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We weren't helping out.
I don't know if this is going to be popular. I don't know. I hate when people set stuff up that way, by the way, because it sounds phony. I'm giving Shador a total and absolute pass for yesterday.
The old Peterlin pass?
100%.
The Peterlin pass.
Yep. Yeah.
This would have been nice 40 minutes ago, by the way. If you led with the, I'm going to give it the old Peterlin pass.
You got to let it sink
in. I felt
in.
Like you almost made me fight for it for like 40 minutes, and then it marinated, and then it sunk in, and it's like, all right, we're going to give him the old Peterlin pass.
Oh, no, I was just
the
thinking
The Peterlin
now.
Pass.
When am I going to give him the Peterlin pass? Now's
the Peterlin pass.
How'd you open the show? Where's your deity now? Or something like
I
that.
I believe
that?
I said, will you renounce your god?
As you then looked at me and then screamed angrily like this, yelling at me. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, that was just a little fun.
I guess this is where this is going.
I didn't really want you to renounce Shador.
Well, it'd be really dumb if I did, by the way, wouldn't it? Like
half a football?
I'm out, guys. I'm out.
Shador,
can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
What?
I will tell you, there are lesser sports talk guys who would do that. I just think you and I at one point early in the season, Dylan had an abysmal game, and we were like, yeah, guys, it's going to happen. You're going to have bad games. I think it was the Steelers game. It was a point where it was like he was getting constant pressure. He wasn't making good decisions. The Steelers were able to speed him up. That's how this game works. I'll be honest with you guys, once Shador went in, I stopped having expectations to win that game. For every reason that we've said, he's a fifth-round rookie, hasn't practiced with the ones, and so anything you got from him, to me, would have been a bonus yesterday. And so this idea that that this means, 2026, that guys, the idea should be you're going to get a quarterback in 2026 until one of these young quarterbacks shows something of interest that make you basically move off those plans.
Well, so here's the sad part for someone like myself that wants to see and got excited by some of the throws late in the game and the idea that you're driving the ball down the field. Like, I get excited for these moments, but the sad part is that let's say on Wednesday, Kevin Stefanski comes out and says, you know what, Dylan passed concussion protocols, which I have no idea if he's going to be able to or not, obviously. But if he comes out and says he passed protocols, I've lost my ability to then turn around and say, well, no, we have to see Shador. We must see Shador. What are we doing with Dylan Gabriel? I've lost that ability within just a half a football, even if the cards were seemingly stacked up against him in that outing.
No, I still can. Dylan still cheeks. He's still awful.
Well, I thought he was cheeks before, though, but that's the problem. For me personally, maybe I'll just rely on you then to be the person that calls for it, but for me personally, I feel like I've lost that. That's an arrow in my quiver. I've lost that.
Like, here's the thing. It is fair to say Shador wasn't good yesterday. It is safe to say he's not ready. How do you get him ready? You play him. By the way, Dylan Gabriel wasn't ready in week 5. The problem wasn't that he wasn't ready. It's that he's never gotten ready. Like, that was, what, his 6th start yesterday? And he was 7 of 10, I think, 40-some, 50-some yards, something like that. And he was afraid to throw down the field. Like, I don't understand why we need to see more of Dylan. Because here's the thing. As bad as Shador was, he at least showed you that willingness, and not just willingness, ability to consistently drive and deliver right. the ball downfield.
That's the exciting part.
That's what you need in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a guy who throws, who, by the way, a 5-yard out route is beyond him consistently. And I'm not saying that's an easy pass, because I'm a fat ass with a microphone. So I can't comment on what easy is. But the bare minimum of expectation is, whether you're throwing against your body or throwing to your hand side, whatever it is, a 5-yard out should be able to be hit with regularity, and that's something Dylan hasn't done. So it's funny, like, people, the Shahaders out there have tried to take yesterday and see, now it's not so easy. And it's like, okay, but I saw more, maybe something's there with Shador mm-hmm. Sanders in one half of a game than I did in all the rest of the time I've seen Dylan Gabriel play. And that includes right. countless practices this year.
Without question. I mean, again, part of what had me excited is not only has the game moved on, but that final drive, that was the very best we saw him look. And the 25-yard pass to Fannin, I there's a part of me that's like, wait a second, what was Dylan Gabriel's longest throw? A 26-yard pass earlier in the game was the longest throw he's had in 6 games, and then Shador did that within, like, the 4th drive we've seen him out there. Like, there is something to be said about that, but I do feel like if Stefanski goes to Dylan on Wednesday, I get to be angry about it, but not the same level of angry that I once got.
No, just because Shador had a bad half of football with no prep doesn't mean that, I don't want to say no prep, but no first team reps.
I think they know what they're doing or anything like that. But I do. I feel like in this instance, I feel like I almost wonder if more people would be calling for Bailey Zappi or Deshaun Watson, not for next week, but in the weeks that follow. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
And put the crack pipe down is what I'll say to those people.
Okay, good.
Like, again, you're in the we're developing and we're evaluating. Well, I have not seen development from Dylan Gabriel in 5.5 games. And by the way, the Browns keep saying, well, he's developing. Where on the tape would you say there's evidence of him developing?
Do you feel like if not for the concussion, this next week would have been the week that Shador would have gotten a start, or would they have rode out the idea that Dylan is still developing?
Yes. That I don't know, because I do think there's a lot of people reporting today that the Browns just didn't have any current inkling that they actually wanted to go in that direction. But I do think after this game, because you were going to lose this game, guys, didn't matter if Dylan or Shador was your, like, this narrative, this there's been this groundswell of people saying if Dylan's healthy, he wins that game. Really? Because I have countless exercises earlier this season where Dylan's in that exact game has ended up losing.
I just don't think Dylan would have won it. I have no faith that Dylan would have been able to move the ball down the field, because I haven't had faith for him to move the ball down the field in, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, Nick? Like, the idea that you can actually score. The offense is dead with Dylan Gabriel. That's almost irrefutable, where I feel like the offense, at least with Shador, and again, even if it's just him throwing to Larvadan, man, how different would this conversation be if Larvadan had won what turned out to basically be just a 50-50 ball?
Yeah, but even then, like, he got better as the game went on. Yes, he had disastrous plays. Yep, he's a rookie quarterback. And by the way, let's throw the 5th-round pick thing out the window, because I've seen more talent than most 5th-round pick quarterbacks I've seen play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That, again, is he ready to play? No, that's what playing's for. That's what practicing is for. And so this idea of, well, he wasn't ready to play. Yeah. Yep, wasn't yesterday. Now your job is to get him ready to play.
Right, and I would bet after a full week and everything like that, like I told you earlier, like I'm excited to see what he can do if he gets the opportunity to, and I hope he does. I'm really excited to see what he can do, because the guy we saw on Sunday, that's not the complete picture of Shador. I've watched too much. I've seen too much. I know he's so much better at that, and I did think at the very end, I thought there were glimpses of what you saw, you know, classic Shador, but it just took a little bit longer to get there.
And by the way, the things I've seen of Dylan confirm, it's funny because everybody made this point about Shador holding on to the ball too much, turning his back to the defense, right? Maybe being a little risky with the ball. Those are all things that we've now confirmed them in one half of football with Shedeur Sanders, but yet I can't confirm a undersized quarterback that won't throw the ball past the first down sticks and that is scared of his own shadow. I can't confirm that. What? Because he's a third round pick?
Okay, no. We're good that you didn't do this segment in the first segment. It would have gassed me up a little bit too much. It would have given me the idea that I could just go out and be like, all right, I apologize for nothing. He was awesome. Screw all you guys, which isn't reality.
Yep.
And in this conversation, I have to keep reminding myself because you're almost twisting it to the point where I'm like, maybe he didn't look as bad as I thought. No. He didn't look good.
He looked awful.
He didn't look good yesterday.
He did.
We need to keep reminding people. Yep. We're not just completely ignoring that fact and that reality. He did not look good. It was not a good performance, but there was enough there. And there was enough there in him moving the football down the field and actually throwing the ball deep that as you're watching these games, I just don't know how you can't think to yourself, I want to see more of that. And I think that's got to be the overarching theme.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.